So this reading follows on from the last reading. The last reading was talking about the Holy Spirit, and this reading is moving into more the mechanics, or a fuller sense of the mechanics of how we receive influx. So we have the representative image of the Lord in the world, which shows stages of development, which also represent stages of development of the divine truth or truth within the human mind. And so we have these different levels being spoken about here. There's what's called immediate and mediate influx. Divine truth, as represented by Moses, is beyond any reception so far as a finite mind is concerned. And then you have what's represented by Aaron, which is mediate or truth mediated, so that it can be grasped within a human and angelic understanding. So in here it talks about the initiation of spiritual development starts with a fear of the Lord, fear of his anger, judgment, all of that. And then as our understanding of the word develops, so that's the doctrine of good and truth represented by Aaron, from whom is truth divine as opposed to divine truth. So truth divine is truth that is understood. Divine truth is that which cannot be understood or grasped or register in us. So there's this mediation process. And as our understanding of the Lord, it starts out in a simple way and becomes fuller as we practice the word. And so our understanding of doctrine grows and develops. And so the image of the Lord in the gospel growing and developing corresponds to, or is representative of, the growth of our understanding of the word growing and developing within our mind. So the initial movement is through fear, and then holiness is instilled through the development of an understanding. So it relates that in terms of this idea of the anger of Jehovah. So initially it's taken literally, and there's a fear aspect of, well, you know, I don't want to be thrown into hell, so I need to do something about this. And then through engaging with these ideas, it becomes clear that the Lord is not the one who is angry at all, that that's how we perceived him. You know, to the proprium, the Lord will always appear as something to be feared because he comes to take your life in one sense, right? So truths, when they come to bear upon the mind, have an immediate impact on the societies and associate spirits that are with us. So often we can feel states of depression and anxiety in this work, and it's not us who is depressed or anxious. What it is are the spirits that we are identified with, so far as ourself is concerned, patterns of thinking and feeling that are coming under threat. So there is a need for those things to be exposed, and that's what this whole story about Egypt is about. And the fact that those states can be seen is the clemency or the mercy of the Lord, because then we're given choice and then we can work with something. So the revelation of those conditions which we are, you know, that we may not want to see, causes resistance, and in that resistance is the seed for responding in a different way when it's seen in the light of the word. So if you look at the story, like, the story gives a pattern. There's a pattern here that's repeated over the two-week cycle, and that's often the best way to try and think about it, and then it can broaden out as something more universally grasped or understood. But the pattern here is that Moses is in Egypt, undeveloped at that stage, has to flee Egypt because it can't contend with the powers of Egypt, which is the sensual aspect. So there's a withdrawal to Jethro, and Jethro represents simple good. But simple good, like, it's still a profound good. The simpleness of it is that I'll take the word, I'll practice it, I'll do what it's asking of me. That's simple good. Responding and trusting in the Lord is simple good, but it's still a profound act, right? It's not something lesser in any way. So what happens is that through that process of practice, there comes a time when you can return to Egypt, that divine truth can be brought back into contact with that sensual and corporeal level of the text, which is person, place, time, and space. Because those who were seeking to destroy Moses have died. So what that means is that certain modes of thinking, say, you know, thinking in person, place, time, and space, are now no longer able to exert the same level of influence that they once were. And because of that, there's a return to the text, and the text is understood spiritually in relation to our states of life as opposed to historically. So that pattern is present over the two-week cycle. So you see the development of the Lord from an infant-like understanding through to maturity and able to deal with those things that are arising. So that's the development of the Word in us, how truths get established in us. First principles get laid down and start to govern, and that's the power of the Word starting to have an impact on those natural structures that have been built up, you know, those beliefs that have been built up through believing the appearance of the senses. So those things are now weakened to the point where Moses, along with Aaron, as the doctrine of good and truth for the spiritual church, or for that church that's involved in charity. So charity being self-examination and repentance, the practice of the Word. So if we come to the text, we draw something from it, there's a pulling away from the person, place, time and space aspects of it. We go to practice Jethro's simple good, drawing a connection. And then there's a return to the text at the level of person, place, time and space, but it reads very differently because the falsities that were there previously have died or being pushed out. And so then we read the text differently through the experience that we're able to bring of those truths that we've been working with, you know, having them start to form a way of viewing the text differently. So if there's a practice happening and there's a seeking the Lord so far as self-examination and repentance goes, then it doesn't matter how limited our understanding of things is, it is still the Lord at work. So all things that relate to the regeneration of the human mind, even though our understanding of doctrine is, you know, clouded with appearances and falsities and misunderstandings and all of that, it is still the Lord, because anything that has to do with the regeneration of the human mind is the work of the Lord, looking to that end in view, which is the salvation of the human race. And so the point that was being made here, right, is that those successive things still contain the Lord in his fullness. So even though our understanding of the letter of the word, or because the word is couched in the letter, we can struggle to see spiritual principles within it, and that's due to our state being attracted to what is more external with regard to the word, it still has the Lord immediately present in it. So we can be led and guided by it. So the divine truth is the light we see by. And what we see is our understanding of doctrine or of goods and truths. Those are the objects, the mental objects that enable light to be present. Because you can't actually see light. What you see is the reflection of objects. So if you set up in a pitch black room and you have a beam of light without that light hitting anything or reflecting off anything, then you can't actually see it. And so you have this idea in here about how mediate influx is like specks in the atmosphere. Immediate influx is the Lord. He is the atmosphere. So, like, I think that very thing is captured here, you know, that it's Aaron coming out to meet you. Like, we take truths out into life, or we take what we have out into life, and we meet what is true. If we're open to receiving, then external life provides us with what's needed for moving us forward in the regeneration process. And that's through our contact with others, our contact with situations that we have to meet. All of that is an opportunity for something of the Lord from within to meet something without and bring about a transformation and change within.